Is it afternoon? Morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. Children are excused to go to their classes. Amen. Though we know that this world is a broken world, the day will come where all things will be set aright. And that is one of the reasons why we preach this gospel. Is that Kemi? And Brother Bolaji? Where's mommy? Eh? Where? What? Okay. Okay, please extend my greetings. The day will come where God will set all things aright. And as we read in the scriptures this morning, towards the end of time, this world as we know it will be done away with. And God is going to create a new earth and a new heaven. You know, when I look at life and, you know, as we continue in this life, as you grow older, like my brother here, Brother Liu, you will know that this life. Brother Liu, don't worry. We're all growing old. Brother Liu's like, okay, carry on. One of the things you'll get to realize about life is that one of the most painful things is the lack of a continuation of things forever, good things. You know, when you get into relationships that are beautiful, you don't want to say goodbye. But no matter how beautiful that relationship is, one day, if it's for children, they will grow wings. They will go and start their own lives. You will have to say goodbye. If it's for spouses, one spouse one day will say goodbye to the other, 6 feet under. So, no matter how good the thing is, death is the cessation of every good thing on earth. But the day will come where there will be no more death. So, the good things. They will never come to an end. You know how, because of experiences in life, when you have a good thing and the good thing is going, you're always looking, okay, when is this going to end? When is the next bad thing going to happen? When is this shoe going to fall? And there's that expectation here on earth. Because of this broken world in which we live. But in the heaven that this Bible has taught us about, which we are preaching, which we are staking our lives on, because it's a reality. Yes, my dear. You need my car keys. Okay. You see, that's little chair there. That's it there. Just get it. Thank you. All right. Don't lose it because I don't. Okay. All right. Where was I? Yes, the good things of heaven are eternal. And so why we are preaching this, nothing in earth lasts. We've moved houses a few times. When I moved from my aunt's house, and that's my aunt there for anybody who doesn't. When I moved from my aunt's house to my own first apartment, the care, which many of you hate, that I bought, it was only two trips of the care that carried all I had. From that apartment to our first townhouse, I think it was four trips of the care. From the townhouse to where we live now, It was a truck. You had to get a U-Haul truck. But the interesting thing I've seen, each time we moved, we were always like, how did we amass so many things that we have to throw away or give away? So many things in life. If you've ever moved before, you have to give away things. My daughter moved from Minnesota to Tennessee recently. She's like, I have to give out so many things, boxes, bags of so many things, and that is life. But now, why I bring that into this discussion is that these things we amass in life, right? We do not take many of them with us to the new place. But in life, we labor for many things. Even though we might know or might not know that these things are not following us to the next place. Many of those things also, they grow old that we have to buy new ones. Then the question arises. When we leave the shores of this earth, how many things do we take with us? Sister BC, your collection of shoes? You're not taking them. They stay here. Toby, all the degrees? Eh? No. Brother Liu, what are you taking after when you leave? Why?
That come with nothing,
You
sir.
come with nothing and you're leaving with nothing. Okay. So why then do we stake life on laboring for everything? Why then do we stake lives? If we don't have, it becomes a problem. You understand? We change with John Brigdy. But when we know we're not living with anything, some people will even kill to have what they are. Has anybody gotten any clothes that has lasted them from birth till now? Sister Falaka, you do? My brother, it's good to see you again. So nobody has anything that has lasted you from birth till now. Nothing. Sister Ronki, out of all the cars you've had in life, which one did you have at what is Glendale that you have now? Which one? None. Everything. That is life. So when we look at the story of life, we have to realize one thing. And the Bible has taught us these things, but this is where we, as pastors, try to reiterate it. The only things that matter, because if you ever look, I'm a mathematician, I love math. And when I compare 70, 80, 90, if possible, 100 years of this life, to eternity, many of us cannot fathom that figure, eternity. But let's say it's not eternity. Let's say 1 million years. Thank you, Brother Wale. 1 billion years. Let's say we live 1 billion years. What can we exchange 100 years for 1 billion years for? Nothing. And the Bible is telling us that we should lay, we do have treasures, right? But the treasures, we should lay them for that eternity. So that what you gather here, there is a place where you can actually lay them for eternity. I haven't been there yet, though. But lately, going through this series, I have been looking at pictures of that place. And I'm beginning to understand why some, the Bible says, in the book of Hebrews 11 that we read, why many people through faith will endure what this life brings. Why Job could say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Why those patriarchs of old could go through what they went through. And the Bible says that what they desired, what they were had faith for, they did not even see it on this earth. And they still held on to God. Many of us come from different countries. We're in America. Look at Sister Jackie there. She came to read in America, thinking America would be like heaven. Eh? Now she's happy she's retired. Eh? And she wants to go back. All right. Let's look at the picture of eternity. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Revelation, chapter 21. And it says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Remember what we read in chapter 3 of 2 Peter that Sister BC read for us. This earth and this heaven, it would be folded away. It would be done away with. And God said he will create a new heaven and a new earth. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down. Please, let's picture it. Coming down from God out of heaven. This new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Now, let's take a pause there. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Right from the book of Genesis, and I'm showing us the pattern of God's intention for creation. In the book of Genesis, it tells us that God created man. God created woman. It tells us that in the cool of the evening, God will come and fellowship, will come and commune with mankind. Until sin entered into the world. And because God, in his nature of holiness, cannot behold sin, could no longer commune with man. Because that fellowship that God had with man, sin had severed it. And God could only come to man now through intermediaries. The intermediary of prophets speaking to man. The intermediary of a sacrifice through that Old Testament that had to be made for man to be able to approach God. The intermediary of the high priests that approached God on the behalf of man. And finally, what brought man back to God is the death of his own son. So God's plan initially in the Garden of Eden was that God wanted to be with man. God wanted to commune with man. And at the end of everything, God's plan from the beginning will happen again, but this time it will even be better. Because we read that God came to man, right? And in the cool of the evening. But did God stay? No. So God always came to visit man. Now, we are reading that in this verse 3, behold the tabernacle of, verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. So no longer it will be God visiting the Garden of Eden. But God will tabernacle. What does it mean to tabernacle? To house, to stay. You are dwelling together. God is going to tabernacle with us. And God shall wipe away tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more what? That separator. There shall be no more death. Neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall bear thee any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat, excuse me, and he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. God is not lying. And he said, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give, you know, when people say that Jesus doesn't say that I'm God, point them to this. Because in everywhere, Alpha and Omega is the maker of all things. There's no other person who can be Alpha and Omega except God. And this is Christ saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes. Now, when he says he, it doesn't mean that she is not included. He is just a general word for mankind, womankind. He or she that overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God. I will be her God. And he or she, he shall be my son and she shall be my daughter. You know, I always imagine something that on this earth, right, we have male and female. Will there be male and female in heaven? The Bible doesn't say. But is this just my image? You know how Brother Ken was saying, these are things I imagine. That, you know, will there be male and female in heaven? Because the Bible says there's no marriage, Abby. They'll be like angels. And there's no feminine angel. You're very right. Yeah, that is the world. But in heaven, might be. Aha, very good. I like that answer. You know, there's so many things to look forward to. So, he that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, fornicators or adulterers, sorcerers, idolaters, liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels who had seven bowls full of the seven last plagues and talked with me saying, Come, and I will show you the bride and the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, that holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. That city had a great wall, very high. It had 12 gates, and at the gates, 12 angels, and names written on the gates, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east gates, on the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And in those foundations, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb were written. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates of it and its walls. And the city was 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. So, where are the students of math? Mayo, if the length is equal to the breadth, what shape is that? Good. Did mommy say rectangle? All right. Let's go on. Verse 16. And the city lies four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. This is the old one. Does anybody have modern length that they put in your Bible? Mine says 1,400 miles. Okay. So that city is 1,400 miles this way, 1,400 miles that way, and it's a square. So how big is that city? About, well, the slightly smaller than the US is about 2,600 or 900 miles, right? So about half of the US. Remember, we're saying one city. Oh. One city. About half the size of the United States. Let's go on. Okay, and verse 17. And he measured the wall of it, 144 cubits. Please. 216 what? Feet. Okay. According to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was jasper. The city, when people say, I want to go to heaven, they're talking about gold in heaven. This is the description that they're seeing. The city, the building of the wall was like jasper. The city was pure gold, like clear glass. Like clear, somebody, so when I was doing some research, they said that why we see gold as yellow is because of the impurities in gold. As you purify gold more, it becomes clearer and clearer. This is saying gold as clear as glass. I don't know what type of gold that will be, but I don't see it on any neck here. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysophoros, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. Let me tell you something about how beautiful these things are. There was a researcher, and you can Google it on YouTube, who did a research about passing pure light through these type of stones. And no, passing normal light. I think it was normal, either normal light or pure light. And the spectrum of light that emanated after you passed light through these stones, it was more beautiful than diamond. You notice that there's no diamond here. So diamond was even a lower class of stones than what we are reading about. Let's go on. Verse 21. And the 12 gates were made of pearls. When women want to adorn themselves, they wear beautiful pearls with their beautiful dresses. Here, we're seeing Sister Jackie's house. The gate is made of pearl. Amen to that. You want to get there? Each one of the gates was of one pearl, and the streets of the city was what? Pure gold. It was transparent like glass. And I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no more need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did light it, and the lamp is the light of lamp of it. And the nations, we talked about this last week. Who are the people who are in the nations? I don't know yet. I'm still researching. It says, the nations of them who are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth, they do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gate of it shall be shut, shall not be shut by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no way enter into it anything that defiles, neither the person that works abomination or makes a lie, but whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. I pray and hope that, you know, as many of us with palpitations in our hearts wanted to come to America, we would know that America is like, what will we compare it to? Slum. When you, even lower than slum, when you compare it to what we're talking about here, we all try to make our houses beautiful. People who are moneyed, they build big mansions. They have gold effigies in their houses. You know, they have one thing or the other. But this is a whole city whose street is paved with gold. Imagine it, my brethren. What will get us here? That is what we began to talk about last week. Because it says that there will be kings, right? There will be nations. The kings will bring their honor into that holy city. The question I was even asking, I saw something here. And the nations is made up of who? Thank you, Mommy. The nations is made up of those who are saved. Says the nations of them who are saved shall walk into the light of it. So let's get the picture clear. There's this city called the New Jerusalem that will come out of heaven. I don't know how far it's going to, whether it's going to be on earth or it's going to be suspended. I don't know. But I know that that nation will be where everybody will go to honor God. Because at this time, there's a new heaven and a new earth. Everything of old, death, Satan, sin, everything that makes us fall short of the glory of God has gone. Now the glory of God covers the whole of the earth. The nations made up of everybody who is saved. The nations also made up of kings ruling over those who are saved. So this will be the people who are saved from the right of the beginning of creation until whatever time this is. Remember the parable of Christ when he said that talents were given to everybody. He says, some will say, to some he will say, you rule over how many cities? 10 cities. You rule over 5 cities. The people who did not multiply their talents, he says, what he has, take it from him, give it to another. So that's being a king. It's a reality. We've been talking about it. There will be out of us people who have been faithful to God here on earth. People who have taken all that the world will throw at them, all that life will throw at them, not giving up on Christ. Who would rule? And there will be people, the Bible says, their works, it will be burned up with fire, but they will be saved. They will be saved as by words, as by fire, but they will have nothing to show for it. Maybe this will be the commoners in heaven. I don't know. I just know that some people will rule. There'll be nations, there'll be kings. There'll be people going, everybody will be able to go into that holy city. We're going to have a new earth and a new heaven. In the book of Isaiah, it talks about the wolf lying with the lamb. It talks about a child being able to hold a snake and it will not hurt the child. It talks about a lion and a child leading a lion. So, by that picture, I know that there may be animals in heaven. This is what I'm looking forward to. And guess what? All those people that we've said goodbye to, we're going to say welcome to. They're going to say welcome to us, never to depart again. Because there will never be a goodbye again. There'll be never be a painful, this relationship, I loved it, but it had to come to an end. There will, because what we will be, Paul said, we do not yet know. So, brothers and sisters, what am I saying to wrap this all up? Anything, this world, this earth, no matter what we have, it doesn't go past here. It doesn't go past here. Is there somebody you can help that you have the means to? If you do it, you are laying up treasures for yourself in the eternal. Are there people you can pray for their salvation? When you do it, you are laying up treasures for yourself for the eternal. Are there people you can evangelize to? When you do it, because this is the kingdom of God now, not the kingdom of man. But what we do in the kingdom of man will have an effect, direct effect, on how we spend our time in the kingdom of God. We are to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. We are to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. If you have treasures on earth and you damn your treasures, you are not a blessing to anybody. It doesn't do you any good. Because it doesn't go past here. If there is a person that needs a ride you don't give it to, you're making yourself poor for heaven. If there is a person you can give food to that you don't, so these are the things the Bible has taught us. If there's a person, you see this person needs a coat, you have two, and you don't want to give them any. It is you who will become poor in the hereafter. So, like Christ said, if somebody asks you for your shirts, give them your coats. If you see your brothers and sisters, this person doesn't have shoe, and you have three, give them one. Because in so doing, you are laying up treasures for yourself in heaven. And believe me, God does not owe anybody. God does not owe anybody. You see, he said something that he's a father to the widow. The father to the fatherless and the husband to the widow. You see, back in that society, the people who are the most despised or the people who suffered the most in society were widows and orphans. Because no woman had a right to divorce a man in that society. No woman had a right to property. To inheritance. And so any woman who becomes a widow, it's like it's over for you, because how do you fend for yourself? All you can do is beg. And to be an orphan was no better. So for you to be able to help a widow or an orphan, the Bible says that you are borrowing to God. You are borrowing to God. And believe me, I would rather borrow to God than borrow to the stock market. Because God makes good on his promises. This world, what we have, we will use it here. It will grow old. We'll throw it away. We'll buy new ones. The new ones we buy, we're taking it nowhere. But for the eternal one, let us be, as we know it, let us lay for ourselves, treasures in heaven. Where, what did he say? Moth and where thieves cannot steal. Moth and rust cannot happen. I love that word, moth and rust. You know why I like it? Because most of what we buy, car, rust will eat it. Clothes, moth will eat it. Eh? House, thieves will break in. May thieves not break into our house. Amen. But what he's saying is that nothing you have is eternal on this earth. Nothing you have is secure in this world. I can never forget one of my best suits. You know, there's a wood. What do they call it? Mahogany. Is it mahogany? There's a wood people put in their wardrobes. Does anybody know that wood? Can buy blocks of it. You know, I cutted two cartons. After one of my best suits, I hung it in the wardrobe. But I didn't worn it for months. I just now saw tiny holes inside that suit. You know, I don't know what kind of insect will get into your suit and start making tiny holes. But then I read that those blocks, they drive out with the insect. And I bought so many of them, you know. But what I'm saying, no matter how beautiful that cloth is, moth will eat it, given time. Rust will damage. But for the eternal, no moth, no rust, no thief. So where would you rather lay your treasures? If you have here, use it for the world to come. Let us pray. Precious Lord, we thank you. Thank you for another day that you have taught us through your word. There is a day yet coming where each of us will depart this world. And you said that, Lord, we should believe you, that you are the God you are, and you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Your word, you said that you do not lie. That is why you said that you have exalted your word according to your name. Father, many people, they stake their reputation on their names. You have staked your reputation on your word, that you can never lie. And so, Father, help us to learn to stake our lives on the truth that you have taught, that what you have said, you will bring it to pass. That, Father, as we follow you on this earth, Lord, we will not be barren. We will not be empty at the end of life. We will not follow you and be like those who have followed a lie, Lord, because your word is true. And so, Father, we present ourselves again once more unto you, O Lord. Lord, train us to reign with you. Help us when you discipline us, when you chastise us, to accept this because it's for our own good. No one arises to the throne of leadership, of rulership, without having been trained. And so, Lord, when you train, help us to accept it, Father. Lord, in the things that we go through on this earth, your servant said that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what you have prepared for those who love you. And Lord, we are beginning to see these things with our own eyes, but the world doesn't see it. So help us, Father, to be prepared. Help us to be prepared. Because there yet is a rest to those who trust in you. Help us not labor in this world and yet miss an eternity with you. Help us not suffer in this world and yet, Lord, be a candidate for eternal fire. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, every skeleton in our cupboards that will hinder us, Father, from being in your kingdom, please take it away from us, O God. Take it away, Lord, that we will be your children both here on earth and in the hereafter. Father, we love you. We thank you. We present ourselves unto you. We present our bodies unto you. Lord, shape us, mold us, make us like your Son. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord.